time for a Gridiron Geek Out, with the scientist of NFL films, Greg Cosell,
with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by Dolan's Home Improvement Centers. Save money on highest quality.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680. The Sports Leader.
Here we go. 1 week ago, we were all over Greg Cosell saying, what's going to happen, Niners, Cowboys? What's going to happen, Niners, Cowboys? Well, guess what? 49ers won the game.
Here we go.
Now they're going to Green Bay to take on the one seed. This is great stuff. Great uniforms, great helmets, great traditions, great teams, great coaches, and a great guest, Greg Cosell, on the UMA guest line. Morning, Greg.
Hey, most importantly, you guys are always trending, right?
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
We're always trending, buddy.
You guys are always trending.
I don't know, Greg.
I think it is.
I think the last time I trended was 1994. All right?
That's the last time I trended, but just not in the right direction, generally.
Oh, man. Great, man. I know, you know, all four matchups are intriguing in their own way, but, you know, we got to go Packers-Niners here, man.
Well, of course you do.
So, the first question I would ask is, how different are these teams from the September game? In other words, how relevant is the September game to analyzing this game?
Well, I would say coaches would always view head-to-head as irrelevant because there's schemes involved. You know, rarely do teams and coaches dramatically change their approach, their methodology, their concepts, throughout the course of a season. So, and by the way, Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan know each other extremely well because they've been on the same staff. So it's different in that there's different people, and it's different in that teams do tweak and change. For instance, Deebo Samuel was not the Deebo Samuel we know now in week three. They were not using him that way. They used him differently to get him in space. You saw the screen game to get the ball to him in space, but the Deebo Samuel run game was not in full flower in week three. I think the run game for the Packers has really evolved and improved pretty dramatically since week three. So are the concepts different that the coaches teach and try to have their players execute? Probably not in any meaningful way, but there'll be different personnel. I mean, I took a look back at that week three game, and you saw Mohamed Sanu. He's obviously not there. So, you know, you have those kinds of things. I think Bakhtiari, I believe, is supposed to be back for Green Bay. So, of course, he did not play week three.
Yeah, and that we talked to Tom Silverstein yesterday, and he was still iffy on Bakhtiari. He's like, I don't know.
We don't know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to try, but he had to tap out of the Lions game, you know? So
I guess we don't know that. But, I mean, the coaches will certainly look at it. It was a long time ago, you know, in the course of a season that has progressed and evolved. Trey Sermon, for instance, was the back in that game for the 49ers. Obviously, he will not be the back in this game.
Tell me about the Packer run defense and how it matches up against the 49ers blocking schemes and personnel.
Well, what they'll play, their base defense, which is what teams tend to play a lot of against the 49ers, because the 49ers are a base personnel offense for the most part. And by that I mean they line up with a fullback with Juszczyk, and they'll line up often with two tight ends. So they have a higher percentage of base defense and a base offense and a lower percentage of what we call 11 personnel with three wide receivers, particularly in normal down and distance situations. So the Packers' response to that, and what they've done most of the year, is they play essentially a 5-2 front. That's their base front. So it's five players on across the first level of the defense, on the defensive line level, and two stacked linebackers. And one of those stacked linebackers, Devondre Campbell, has had an outstanding season, his best season in the NFL. He's 6'4", he's big, he's athletic, he can be physical in the box. He's just a really good player.
Okay, but can the 49ers run the ball on the Packers? Or if you're the Packers, are you selling out to stop the run and making Jimmy G beat you?
Well, it's not a matter of selling out, because what they will do is they will bring a safety down, as most teams do. They will play what we call cover four quarters, in which safeties do have a run responsibility first before they have a pass responsibility. So it's not a matter of selling out. What they will do is they will look to defend the run within the concepts that they do. You know, they're not going to bring, you know, 10 guys on the line of scrimmage. So they'll play their defense, and they'll feel that in an ideal world, they can stop the run game. I mean, think of what the Cowboys did this week. The 49ers do what they always do. They started running outside because their approach is we take the edge until you take it away, and they did not have much success in the first half running outside. The Cowboys did a really good job defending the edges. So what did the Niners do? They came out in the second half and they changed some of the things they were doing in the run game. They started going more what we call gap scheme, where they pulled the guard, and then the run game had much more of an inside focus than an outside focus. So the Niners made that adjustment and started to have more success. So the Niner run game is not complicated in the sense that they have 10, 12 different runs. They get to their runs in really interesting ways, which puts a lot of stress on the defense.
Greg, you know, we were talking about this yesterday on the air, Murph and I, about George Kittle over the last, I don't know, two, three games. He's been kind of quiet in terms of being a pass receiver.
Right.
Lots of blocking, but that's my question. I mean, what are you seeing with Kittle? You just take the Cowboy game, for example. I mean, he caught one ball. It was kind of late in the game, insignificant, maybe 5-6 yards, no big deal. Is he running routes where Jimmy's not seeing him? Is he covered, or is he just back on blocking assignments pretty much all the time now?
You know, I guess I'll answer it this way. The Niners offense to me is not built on, hey, we have to get the ball to this guy.
No, right.
So, I mean, even Debo, you know, obviously now that they use him in the backfield in the run game, it's different. They do try to get him the ball that way. But even in the pass game, they don't really my guess is Kyle does not go into a game saying, hey, first 20 plays, man, we got to throw five balls to Debo. I don't think they're structured that way. So, you know, Kittle, I mean, I can't answer that, you know, where I feel totally comfortable saying anything specific because I could be wrong and I don't want to be wrong. But I just think that's kind of the way it's played out. Look, you see how Jennings has become a big factor on third down. And since they don't throw the ball 35, 40 times a game, there's not, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 targets for three different guys. So, you know, I don't think it's a conscious thing about, hey, we're not going to throw the ball to George Kittle. I just think it's the way the teams they've played and the way their offense has worked. You know, we've seen Jennings become a factor, and he's a player that I felt could become a factor in the context of their offense. Now, he's caught a ton of balls on quick-breaking outside routes. They like to throw the ball inside as well, as we know. That's a clear foundation of what they do. But I don't think it's been a case of, hey, we're not going to throw it to George Kittle. I just think it's the way their offense has played out.
Right. Talking to Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, man, 49ers, Packers for the ninth time since 1995, tying the Rams and the Cowboys for the most frequent. Yeah, Greg, all since the last fifth Super Bowl. It's kind of crazy that in the post-Super Bowl era for the Niners, they've now played the Packers nine times, and that's only the Rams and the Cowboys have tied that for the most frequent NFL matchup.
Well, the game I really remember was the NFC Championship game in 94 when the 49ers went up 21-0.
Yeah.
And then it became a phenomenal game. I mean, I know Troy Aikman has talked about that as one of his best games, even though they lost, because obviously he had to throw the ball an awful lot. And that was when you had the Deion Sanders-Michael Irvin matchup. That was a great game.
Oh, man, legendary. We talk about that game almost all the time.
We do, yeah.
Well, it was
such a game that just popped into my head.
Yeah. But 49ers-Packers, you go to Terrell Owens, the catch two, you know, that's what they call it. And then, you know, Favre owning them in three straight years, 95, 96, 97. Yep. And then there was a weird one where Jeff Garcia took the Niners up to Lambeau and just kind of got beat in a wild card game. But Aaron Rodgers, that leads us to Aaron Rodgers. He had to go against Colin Kaepernick early in his playoff run against the Niners, and now he's going up against, well, Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's not squaring off against Jimmy Garoppolo, but those are the quarterback matchups. And like, I guess that leads to my question about Jimmy G, and that is, you know, now we know the shoulder was sprained. Were you when you looked at film of the Dallas game and analyzed sort of his mechanics or whatever, were you thinking, wow, this guy's really off? What were you seeing?
No, I couldn't tell that. I mean, look, you never know when a guy is hurt on any given throw if it affects him. I mean, obviously the interception is just a throw you can't make. The receiver's open, you got to hit him. I mean, that's just a really bad throw. And obviously in a game like that where they had a chance to put the game away, you can't make a bad throw like that. But I mean, I couldn't tell that his shoulder was bothering him, and he's going to go this week. I mean, I think he's proven his mental and physical toughness, and clearly you go back to the Rams game week 18, you know, he played extremely well, so we'll see how this plays out. You know, We know what the Niners are on offense. The Niners start with the run game. It's very multiple. They throw a lot of balls in the middle of the field. They want to get Deebo Samuel in space. We know what they are, but Jimmy G's going to have to make some throws. There's no question. Ideally, they're going to be in a game where he doesn't have to drop back 35 times because I don't think they want that kind of game, but we'll see how it plays out. Don't forget the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. I mean, I think in my 42 years at NFL Films, I think he might be the best thrower of a football I've ever seen, but they're not just a throw ball team. They're going to run the ball. They don't have Rodgers just drop back 45 times to drop back 45 times, you know, unless a game sort of dictates that, but they run the ball.
Yeah. And they're going to, you know, but the Niner defense, Greg,
is very good. That front group is really good. And I guess Warner did practice yesterday, which is a positive sign.
Oh yeah.
You know, don't forget the Packers also line up with two tight ends. So I'm sure you're going to see the 49ers play with their base defense, which is three linebackers. It'll be Warner as the Mike, Greenlaw as the Sam, and Al Shear as the Will, the weak side linebacker. So that's a good linebacking core. And this defensive front, let's hope Bosa can go. You know, assuming he does, this has been a really good front over the last month, 6 weeks, and they're getting contributions from an awful lot of people. DJ Jones flashes on tape every week. Kevin Givens played over 20 snaps this week, and he flashed. So they're getting contributions from a lot of people.
Charles Omenihu.
Yeah, and he had to play a lot because Bosa went out, and then Ebukam missed some time as well this past week. So Omenihu played some meaningful snaps as well.
Man, so that's what we get to is the big question is how do you even – you can't stop Aaron Rodgers. You just said he might be the best thrower of the football in 42 years. What do you do to contain him? And I'm going back to the New York Giants and Tom Brady, which was the four-man pass rush. It didn't take a scientist to figure this out. If you get a four-man pass rush on Tom Brady, maybe you can beat him. Is that it with Aaron Rodgers? Same thing? Well, is it a four-man pass rush is the only way to beat him?
I mean, Rodgers does not get sacked a lot, and he doesn't run as much as he used to, you know, try to make second reaction plays, although he's capable of that, so it's still theoretically part of his game. You know, in some ways, he's like Brady in that he'll just try to get rid of the ball and look for the next play. So the idea is to speed him up. You're probably not going to come away with six or seven or eight sacks. So the idea is just to speed him up, make him get rid of the ball before he wants to, maybe make him check it down, you know, just those kinds of things. I mean, the thing he's really good at, and it's going to show up, even though the Niners do not play a lot of man coverage, they're a zone-based team, when you get outside the numbers, it ends up being man coverage. Whether you're in cover three or cover four, you start working outside the numbers, it becomes man. He is so good at when he sees that situation that he likes, he attacks it. And those plays you cannot get beat on. They did get beat on a few of those in the Week 3 matchup. You can't get beat on those in this game. You can't give up the 35, 40-yard plays on the outside when it becomes one-on-one.
And that's Davante Adams, right?
He does it with Adams. He could do it with Valdez-Scantling. I mean, you know, if he sees one-on-one, he's going to go after it.
And that leads us to the Niner corners, who all of a sudden, Greg, are getting praised and lauded. And it looked like when Dak would go back to pass, he didn't have guys open. And Ambry Thomas and Emmanuel Mosley were getting praised. Now, Ambry Thomas has a knee bruise. He was limited on Wednesday. But is it for sure, like on the film, Ambry Thomas and Emmanuel Mosley are playing some of the best corner play for the Niners all season long?
Well, it's interesting you say that because watching the tape from this week, I thought that the corners played awful lot, and I just don't know why the Cowboys didn't really attack with certain throws, but they didn't. So I can't speak to that. So are they playing better? Yes, but I don't want to say that, wow, they're a strength and they're just going to shut down those receivers because they're not. And for those listening who think that all you have to do on every snap is double Davante Adams, it doesn't work like that. They move Adams around. He doesn't line up in one place. They put him in motion. You know, don't forget there's a defensive play call. So you don't just randomly say, oh, there's Davante Adams, let's double him. You don't know where he's going to be, and there's a defensive play call, and you can't just change the play call, 2 seconds before the ball snapped, because there's a lot of people involved. So, will there be situations where they definitely double and bracket Davante Adams? There absolutely will be, but you can't do that on every play.
It's funny you said that about the Cowboys. Troy Aikman went on Dallas radio yesterday and said that when he saw the game, he said that CeeDee Lamb was that the Niners were playing off him, and that they should have gone. He said he has no idea why they didn't.
He only
attack
got one
that.
Ball, CeeDee Lamb.
He said he could have. He said he would have thrown 10, 12, 15 balls his way, and he said he's going to win that every time.
Yeah,
and I didn't hear him say that. I can't speak for what goes through Dak Prescott's head or the Cowboys' head. But that's why I said their corners are playing better for sure. But there were throws to be made in that game that the Cowboys did not make.
Well, hopefully it sounds like Aaron Rodgers will make those. I mean, I don't know. You've watched him forever. When he loses, is it because it's because his defense didn't do the job? It's like Aaron Rodgers is not going to lose the game. Like Jimmy, unfortunately, there's a possibility he can lose the game for the 49ers.
And that's why people in this game would pick Green Bay, not only because the game is in Green Bay and all that home field stuff. I know the Packers have not lost at home this year, but the feeling is in a game like this that Jimmy G's going to have to make throws, that they're not just going to win the game, based on just running the ball, even if they have success, and that in that kind of game, Rodgers is not going to make mistakes, and Jimmy G could make mistakes. So that's the sort of Cliff Notes version in the minds of most people.
But it is, and I think you told the afternoon guys this yesterday, but the way to get him is just the four-man rush. You pressure him, even his quick release and his dump, there's a way to sack him. They did it two years ago.
I was just going to say that.
Just want to speed him up. I mean, like I said, you're not going to get 7-8 sacks, but you want to speed him up. You want to speed up just his process, his decision-making, make him just play a little differently than he wants to. They did that against Prescott. Prescott's not at the same level, of course, as Aaron Rodgers. As we know, few are. But you could tell. They squeezed and closed down the pocket on Prescott. He was an uncomfortable quarterback in that game. I remember speaking years and years ago to Dick LeBeau, and he said, hey, it's very hard to sack really good quarterbacks, so you're trying to just speed them up. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and man, I don't know if we went deep enough on Adams, just how good he is and how.
He's arguably the best route runner in the game. They move him around, like I said. He's just a terrific, terrific receiver. He's a craftsman. I remember, you guys probably remember because it was in California, he was Derek Carr's receiver in college. Mm-hmm. So, he was a second-round pick because he was not a 4.4 40 guy. But that's not that relevant for receivers. The guy's a true craftsman. I mean, he's a great route runner. He has such a good understanding of how to win off the ball versus both press and off coverage. He's a challenge. He's a tough assignment.
Man, oh man. It sounds like just kind of building the case, and you said it a few minutes ago, on paper, the Packers own the matchup advantage in this game.
Well, yes and no. I mean, to me, these games don't necessarily come down. I mean, can they come down to one matchup? Look, if Davante Adams catches a long touchdown against Ambry Thomas, people are going to say, oh, yeah, they're not good enough at corner. But I don't view those games as these kinds of games as a one-matchup game. Like, to me, if the 49ers can run the ball really effectively and then score touchdowns. See, that's the thing. They had that great first drive this week, and then they had some drives where they ended up with Robbie Gould field goals, and those drives need to end with touchdowns, so red zone becomes really important, because for the most part, the 49ers are not a team that puts up a lot of 50-yard touchdowns. So they're a team that drives the football with a really well-designed and multiple run game, and then converts when they have to, but they don't score on a lot of long, explosive plays, so red zone becomes absolutely critical.
Yeah, and then just on Debo, where he's gotten to in this stage of his game, he's just
Oh, he's really special. They just try to get him the ball in space. I mean, that's kind of what they do because he's really strong with his lower body. You get him, you know, moving with space and rooms where he can run with some velocity. He generates power. You know, they do that with him now as a back, and they also do that with him in the screen game because you want to get him the ball where he has room and he generates that power and velocity.
Last one would be the coaches. You mentioned at the start they know each other so well. And when you watch film, and you do watch schemes, you do watch...
I watch that more than individuals, to be honest with you.
Right. So, in your opinion, who has the more effective schemes?
Well, they're very similar to some degree because they come from the same background for the most part, which is why the Packers run the football. I mean, you could argue that Aaron Rodgers, and he's phenomenal, like I said, I don't think I've seen a better thrower, that he's just a high level system quarterback because they run a system. They don't just say to him, just drop back and throw it, you know, 40, 50 times. So can he do that in a given game? Of course he can. But they don't really want to play that way either. So they're somewhat similar in their approaches. My guess is their playbooks are very, very similar. So, you know, that's a hard question to answer for me because, you know, I don't think of it in those terms. You know, to me, they're defined. Both teams are defined, and that comes from the coaching staff.
All right, Greg, who's going to win?
Oh, you're not really going to ask me that, are you?
I've known you long enough not to ask that question. So, yeah, probably a better question would be like, you know, which Jethro Tull disc did you listen to last
night? Which would be a
relevant
question, right, too.
You mean, do I like Aqualung, Stand Up, or Benefit? You know, one of those? Yes. Which one should?
Oh, wait, did we ask Greg about the Get Up Beatles? Oh, no, and he said he doesn't have time.
No, I haven't watched it. I'm an Aqualung fan, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, real quickly around the other three, just real quick, of those three, Bengals, Titans, Rams, Bucks, Chiefs, Bills. It seems like Chiefs, Bills is like kind of the juiciest matchup.
Yeah, well, I'm fascinated by that because, you know, we've never had seen before in the history of this league 7 possessions and 7 touchdowns. And the fact that it was against a Bill Belichick defense made it even more impressive. Look, Josh Allen, Rodgers is the best thrower. Josh Allen, to me, is the most purely physically gifted quarterback in the league. And maybe not the best, but and sometimes you don't know exactly what you're going to get because he's got that DNA, that mindset where he can do anything all the time. And when he does, there have been games when he does, and it's really impressive. And again, you know, we all think that's going to be a 35-31 game, but you never know. That's why they play them. But that game does get me a little passionate and excited.
Rams have any shot against Tom Brady?
Of course they do. Absolutely. Okay. There's an issue with the Bucs O-line with some injuries. Tristan Wirfs, I don't know if he's going to go. He's the right tackle. The Rams D-line is really a tough deal. I mean, they have a bunch of studs on that D-line.
All right. You said, by the way, 7 touchdowns on 7 possessions. Then what's the Greg Cosell take on the 1954 musical 7 Brides for 7 Brothers?
Well, see.
did not see that.
You
sorry.
Didn't.
I didn't either, Greg.
You
don't
like
worry,
Frontiersman
man.
Dancing? That thing hauled in a bunch of Oscars.
And you know what? I am a big fan, though. This would probably surprise you. Yeah. I am a big fan of Broadway musicals, however.
Well, can I steal a minute of your time to urge you to go see the Spielberg West Side Story then?
You mean the movie?
Yeah. Spielberg remade it.
He's going to have to wait till the season.
My wife saw it, and she loved it. I have not seen it yet, so.
I'd say when you have a little moment, wait if you till, are a yeah. musical guy, I'd say Spielberg did the, the kids would say, he did the damn thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's phenomenal, I just, you know, I don't have a chance to see that kind of stuff during the season, but I am a big Broadway musical guy.
See, the dimensions. We keep digging down the dimensions,
Paul. There are a lot of layers,
Paul,
yeah. A lot of layers, yeah.
All right, man.
You're the man, Greg.
Well, you are our one singular sensation, Greg, all right? So thank you very much. See, that was a Broadway
I got you.
Musical
singular
there.
Sensation.
There you go, Greg. Greg.
Every little step.
He's quiet. Greg's quiet on
that
the other
That was a
end.
Song.
Yeah, Greg?
What's that?
You're the best. You are the best.
I was just letting you guys perform.
I know, you seem like you're on a roll there.
You're the
best.
You're the best, man.
49ers Packers. Damn it. Well, just play the stupid thing
Let's
and see what happens.
It.
All right, Greg. Thanks, man.
Hey. All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Take it easy. Greg Cosell. The dimensions.
Singular sensation. What are you doing? Chorus line now?
I did. The only reason I say that is the only reason it was in my head because I had to go to a 4th grade dance recital and they did it. So it was in my head. That's
well, they're
why.
Doing the kicks like the Rockettes and all that.
Saw it on Broadway. My parents took me.
I hope I get it. I hope I get it.
Listen, you
the whole bit. What, you don't think I ever saw a show? I've seen plenty of them. I hope I get it.
You've had them all over the world, Paulie.
So to speak.
Yeah. Well, did anything Greg say make you think Niners or Packers?
Well, the Packers are probably on paper, like, right? I mean,
does Copes want to tell the 8 o'clock crowd?
Oh. What?
He woke up this morning feeling...
I woke up feeling worse about the game today.
It's going to swing, though, yesterday. Copes. That's just today. It's temporary. Tomorrow's a whole new vibe and a whole new day. Your vibe could change by the end of the show today.
I have not been as cocksure about this as I was about the Cowboys. Like, the whole time I was like, I think the Niners are going to body the Cowboys.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Tell me something.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to be honest with you. The Packers have underwhelmed in January.
That's my man.
Year after year after year after year.
That's your boy Aaron Rodgers out there underperforming.
They haven't been to a bowl in a decade plus.
Remember when Mike Kruko was on a half hour ago? He was talking about Timmy Lincecum, and he goes, Timmy loved the big stage. I'm not so sure Aaron Rodgers loves the big stage.
You know what he is in his last 15 playoff games? 7-8.
That's what I'm saying.
Just saying.
Well, his fault they lost the NFC Championship last year. But you're right.
All I'm saying is there's a lot of big games he's lost.
W's, L's,
a lot of big L's. Eight big L's.
And also there's that other thing where it's like they haven't lost at home at all this year. They're 8-0 at home. But then as Dante Whitner told Papa Lund the other day, that just means it's setting up perfectly for the 49ers.
You know what I'm going to do, Copes? You know what I'm going to do?
Can you put on the Paddington sweater when you do that, please?
Before we dab our heads and take it to the next level on the Power Hour, Copes, I give you just Exhibit A here just to help your head and muster up a little more bad energy for your guy Aaron Rodgers.
Are you vaccinated and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized.
Aaron Rodgers is a liar. Period.
I've never heard of COVID till before. I have no lesions on my feet. That's just a classic case of disinformation.
You know, I made some comments that people might have felt were misleading.
I'm an athlete. I'm not an activist.
I'm not done yet. Thank you. Yeah. I just think people like to say a lot of bullshit.
I forgot to tell you this morning because we got off on an immediate digression, but woke up again this morning in my head. Aaron's crying.
Oh, good track. Hey, you know what? I recommend you go home today and listen to Van Halen 1 start to finish.
That's unbelievable.
Every track
it opens with Ain't Talking About Love, right?
It opens with Running with the Devil.
Running with the Devil, I'm sorry.
Into Eruption, into You Really Got Me. It's a beatdown.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
It is one of the great front-to-back albums of all time. It really is.
I can't add to that.
That said, here's the Power Hour. Still going.
Let's go, baby.
Cooler of content if Waterboy says so.
If he lets us.
KMBR 104.5 and 680, these sports later.
You're listening to Murph and Max Power Hour, now on 104.5 FM and 680. This is KNBR, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.